Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 164. In this episode, we're going to be discussing creating a successful podcast strategy to promote your membership website. Really important. Podcasting is a great way to build your credibility. There's SEO benefits, but also going on other people's podcasts is really important. In the first half, we're going to be discussing some of the key things you need to know about podcasting. And then in the second half, what you need to know if you're going on other people's podcasts. I've got my great co-host and friend Kurt with me. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure thing, Jonathan. Kurt Von Onen, own a company called Manana No Mas, and we work directly with the great teams over at Lifter LMS and WP Tonic.
Right. So, like I say, we're going to be looking at all things podcasting, but before we go into the meat and potatoes, I have a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning fast load times, enterprise grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy to use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Also want to point out, we've got some great special offers from the sponsors, plus a created list of the best WordPress technology, plugins, services, whatever you might need, plus a load of other things. To get all these free goodies, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. So let's go straight into it. So, Kirk, so if you want to launch your own podcast, what I've got this list. When I sent it to you, what did you originally think?
Ooh, well, yeah, there's a list, sure. Like, there's a lot of considerations when you are thinking about doing a podcast, but I think the number one thing to actually consider is just getting started. You can always update and upgrade equipment and things on a list as you go, but the number one thing is absolutely just getting started, because a lot of people have, I don't know if I want to call it a fear of success, but they do have a procrastination button when it comes to the podcasting topic. So get started is one of the number one things. And then the list that you sent made total sense, right? Like, what platform are you going to use? What equipment do you want? Do you want a different camera? Do you want a different microphone? All of that comes into play, but you got to get started. You got to get your face out there and you got to get your voice cranking something.
Yeah. It's called pod fading. Most new podcast folks don't go beyond 10 episodes. I would strongly advise that you keep it as simple as possible. You don't need to buy a lot of equipment nowadays to get pretty good quality. You can spend a lot of money if you want, but that's to get that last 10-15% or the last 10% of quality. But keep it simple. So let's go straight in. So what kind of equipment do you need if you want to do your own podcast? Well, you need a mic. I would strongly advise you to use a USB mic. I use one. I think Kirk uses one. You can buy one that goes into a sound deck. I wouldn't recommend that. You will get the highest quality from a sound deck, but you might have a sound deck, actually. Not sure if that's USB.
Mine's a USB.
Yeah. It's just simple. How much do you need to spend? I think anything from $70 to $200 we'll get you a really great USB mic. I'm using a Rodeo. Rode. I think it's an Australian company. Autotech do some really cost-effective mics, USB mics. I used one of theirs for years. And you get really good quality, so you don't have to spend a lot. Next thing, is it just going to be audio, or are you going to also put it up on YouTube, which is video? It's the same there. Keep it simple. The simplest way, you can use your iPhone. There's software that will allow you that will allow your iPhone to be used as a camera, or you could use a webcam. Logitech have some. I'm using one here actually that gives me 4K video. It does the job, and I've got another camera which is even higher quality, but I tend to use that for my other type of video work I do. A really good Logitech webcam, probably a couple of $100 to get a 4K one, or there's software for your iPhone. If you've got one of the Apple iPhones, you probably can utilize that with your computer. What's your thoughts about that?
I like to keep things simple, like you had said. I have a widescreen Logitech webcam that I use, and I use the USB mic, as we've already said. My mic was like, I think, $85, and I think my webcam was like $59. It wasn't a lot of money. I have seen a lot of people using like a repurposed DSLR camera connected to the computer, right? Because it's going to have a higher lens quality. I've seen people do that. I did before. I had Android and iPhones that I had used the cameras for doing like multi-camera setups. And this is where I just want to be really honest and transparent with people. If we go in the Wayback Machine 6 years ago, Jonathan, I thought, hey, you know what would be cool? I'll do like 4 cameras and then I'll switch cameras like while I'm talking and have different views and all these things. Folks, that is a technical distraction that you do not need to have. Now that it's, you know, 6 years later, I'm literally making most of my content in StreamYard or Riverside or Zoom or something like that. It captures the video and I have a decent webcam and microphone, and that's it.
That's fantastic. Like I say, next, a recording platform. You don't really need this, but I think it's useful. There's Mac and PC software that you can, I didn't mention the free software that I forgot is OB, is it OBC? OBD?
OBS.
OBS. There, OBS. That's the free for Mac and PC. But I find it a bit complicated. But that's totally free solution. There, I've got some here that are the main players. At the present moment, I use StreamYard. It got extremely popular. I've got to change by at least the second week of April. They did warn me that they wanted to charge me a couple of $1,000 for my upgrade, because it got bought from a new company, and I said, I'm not paying that. So they then offered a subscription for 12 months for $500. But I probably want to go month to month with one of the other platforms, because StreamYard got bought out over a year ago. It's probably 18 months. Time is really flying. And the new owners have added an enormous amount of additional functionality. But that means it's also, which mostly at the present moment I'm not using, and it's also got very more complicated. So another player is Riverside. I am really looking at that because they do a month-to-month plan for about $29. And you do get a good discount if you go yearly. Another one is Eve Mux. How would you
pronounce it? I think it's Eve Mux.
Eve Mux. I'm also looking at that one because it seems in some ways to be what StreamYard used to be. It doesn't come with with the complexity or the scope, but it seems to be a more easier interface. And the last one is RestStream, which has been around quite a while. And I'm looking at that one. But I do think having a platform to record your audio or record your audio and video is really useful. What do you reckon?
Well, I do agree. I've done a lot of my podcast content from Zoom, a lot of it from Zoom.
Yes.
You know, because Zoom, I can record locally, I can record to the cloud. So I've got a copy of my product and then I can edit it and I can do stuff with it. The reason that StreamYard, Riverside, Restream to an extent, Eve Mux, I'm not horribly familiar with. They have other tools that come with it. And if you are a creator or, you know, you're hoping to be a creator, you're going to want to look at some of those tools. For instance, Riverside. I use Riverside a lot with another show that I do. And as soon as we're done with the show, like, it automatically creates shorts. It streams to extra channels. It does all kinds of cool things. That's something that you might be very well attracted to. StreamYard, right? It's in the name, right? So it streams to other channels. It doesn't just record the content. It streams to other channels. And depending on the level that you buy in at, you can stream up to like 8 channels. Restream is why that is so famous. Restream, I think you can stream, depending on your package, something like up to 30 channels. And it does shorts creation and some other things like that. But it is one of the pricier of the choices that have been mentioned. If budget is an issue, like I said, I've used Zoom for a long time. I've used Zoom. I've used StreamYard. But one that's on the fringe that some people probably don't consider in this way would be Rumble. The yes. Website Rumble allows you to stream. So you could stream to X, YouTube, and Facebook. And it also creates a recording for you. And that's free. It doesn't cost. Pardon me. It doesn't cost you anything to do it.
And does it enable you to have guests and send out invite to?
So you can have guests. You can share the link and have a guest join. But it doesn't do, like, if you're thinking like webinars, like StreamYard does, where you share the watch link with people. It doesn't do that.
No, but I mean, for guests, can you have multiple guests?
Yeah.
I might look at it.
To be fair, and I think if we don't mention it, we're not doing the viewer a service. If you're not familiar with Rumble, it does appeal to a certain crowd, and that crowd might not be on message with your content. So like any other platform, you might want to examine kind of the other content surrounding it before you commit to using it.
Right. Rightio, editing. Well, I use I have an editor because you can really spend a lot of time on editing and too much time. But like the ones I listed here, you've got Decrypt, which is very popular. I think its lower plan is just under $30. Audacity, which is totally free. And that works on the Mac and PC. And then you've got Riverside again, because they provide an editing tool. So Riverside does provide quite a lot in their platform.
Yeah. But personally, I find the Riverside editing to be a little more cumbersome than it's advertised to be, because I've played with it a little bit. Descript, I think, is amazing. So I'm cheap. I do my edits myself for my private podcast. And I have a two edit process for me. I do the first edit in Descript and that doesn't take long at all. I really just, I lay over studio sound on top of the track so that the voices come out much more robust. And then I move it over to Adobe Premiere Pro to add my bumper, my trailer, and my flying thirds for like names and websites. And that's it.
Wow. And how long does that roughly take you to do?
A 45-minute podcast for me to edit, review, and put in the flying thirds and publish, realistically, is 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah. Yep, that's about right, I would say. And you can go balmy on it, folks. One of my first co-host was an amateur, but he was totally fixated by sound, and he would use Adobe's, I've got the name of the product, it's the
Audition. One of the
Audition, and he was spending like 2 hours on a edit, and he had top the range mics. Yeah, you would spend a lot of time on it. And I just don't think it's worthwhile unless you're in the top echelon. But I leave it to audio editor who isn't that expensive. Touch wood, he won't put his prices up. But he's been with me for years and he's been very reliable, touch wood. And it doesn't have to cost an enormous amount to get editor. A lot of them offshore. But I think he does me a deal because he's been doing it so long for me. You need to publish your podcasts using a open source, I forgot what they call it, open source RSS. And it enables you to publish all over the internet. And if it's in this format,
RSS feed, yeah.
Yeah, you can publish it to most platforms. But there's some free platforms. They tend, you can publish for free using Spotify. I wouldn't recommend that you do that because their RSS feed isn't totally compliant to the open source that it should be. I use something called Castos. I had to their renew came up a couple of days ago. It's $199. It's not ridiculous, but all these add up. But it's one. But they have got the leading WordPress podcast plugin as well. And they've been a pretty good company and they've been pretty rock solid. And I think for the price, for it just gets published and it's been rock solid. I thought for $199 it wasn't worth looking around. Another one that's been around a long while is Podbean. There's about over half a dozen to a dozen of these platforms. I never use Podbean, but they've got a good reputation. And Libsy, they've been around donkey's years. I was originally with them. And it got a little bit out of date, but they were the first podcast publishing platform out there, and they've been going for years, for 20 years now, I think, 15 years, 20 years. So they're pretty good platforms. What do you think, Kurt?
I think this goes back to the very beginning of the show where maybe we should have been like, figure out your use case for your podcast. Like, what is the main purpose of your use case, of your podcast? Is it for branding? Is it for marketing? Is it for reach? Is it for authority in your space? Like, there's all these things. Because Jonathan's use of his podcast or the shows that Jonathan manages and the use of my podcast, Mañana No Más show, the uses are different, right? And so I fall into the category where I'm not paying $200 a year for distribution. because I'm making content that I know I'm going to reproduce on my website and distribute through my newsletter and do that kind of stuff with it. And so I chose the free route. I was with a thing that was called Anchor FM when I first started podcasting, and Anchor FM was sold to Spotify. And just by the nature of already being an anchor, I stuck with Spotify. Now, I did try. I tried to move around to a couple of things. iTunes, Apple has a way for you to host and go direct with them. So I looked at doing that. I looked at Castos, and I was really attracted to Castos because it had a connection to a WordPress plugin that would automate taking the episodes and making posts out of them in your website. So I looked at doing that. And ironically, at the very same time, as Anchor and Spotify were combining, they came out with a plan that created WordPress websites based on your podcast show. It was like an automated process. I think that kind of blew up, by the way. I don't know if that still works or not. It was not a very good performing system at all. So long story short, I've been with Spotify ever since. I've tried some others, but to me, Spotify is home, and that's where I've been now for, I don't know, seven or eight years.
And it works. Why was you looking at other platforms?
Because people say to, right? And then you can't help but sample some things, right? So, and Matt Medeiros, friend of the show, Matt Medeiros was using Castos, and I believe had worked for Castos at the time. And I was, and Lifter LMS had done some stuff with Castos. And I thought, well, if everybody's jumping on this Casto wagon, I better check it out. And for me, it wasn't hitting the pain point for me, right? Like every business has a pain point it's trying to solve. And for me, the Castos equation was solving a pain point I didn't yet have. And I've been happy with Spotify's performance and distribution. So I've just stayed there. Now, gosh, I feel like I'm taking too much time now, Jonathan. The other side of the coin is I don't just store my stuff in Spotify. Everything is backed up on an external hard drive. My content is duplicated in YouTube because I take all of my video podcasts and I load them to YouTube, and I also load them to Spotify, and I also back them up as separate posts within my business website. And so this content gets used in multiple ways, right? I multi-purpose all of my content so that when I record a podcast, it's used not just in one space, it's used in 15, 20 spaces.
Right, that's fantastic. I think it's a good place for us to go for a half-time break. When we come back, we'll be talking about you going on other podcasts to promote yourself as the expert, to build backlinks, legitimate backlinks to your website. It's got a load of benefits. I'll be discussing what you need to know about that. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Also want to point out, we've got a fabulous newsletter that I publish every Tuesday normally. Covers one of the topics. I have all the links as well to the episode that I'm talking about. And I also find some of the best news stories, tech news stories that I find interesting, which I curate and I put in the newsletter. So it's a really great quick read. And you can get this by going over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. And WP Tonic sponsors the show as well. So on we go. So, basically, we've gone through some of the mechanics, me and Kirk, about how to get a podcast going. And there's a load of free stuff. And I think we pointed out that you can get started with a couple hundred dollars worth of equipment and you can get pretty good results. But the main thing to doing it is to build an audience. You're not, unless you're in the top 3-4%, 5% of podcasting, you're not going to make any real money out of podcasting. You're using it to build your brand, to build your credibility, to meet people in your industry, invite them as guests. There's different formats of podcasting. Just to build your credibility and your visibility, that's what you're looking to do. The show, my WP Tonic show, doesn't get a tremendous, enormous amount of downloads, but for a niche show, it does quite well. And I do get some reasonable sponsorship that is really appreciated and does help with the editing costs and some of the other costs. So, but I couldn't live off it in any shape or form, but it is very much appreciated. And I think if you've got a good minority show that says getting a couple thousand downloads a month, I think you can get sponsorship that will help with the costs, maybe hiring an editor. But it's about promoting you, your credibility, and it's one of the few, and Google loves it, and if you get backlinks, they're natural backlinks to your website, to your content. It's got a lot of benefits, folks, and it's one of the, and if you use one of the platforms, you can stream out the lives to social media. You can cut it up for shorts. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it. But going on other podcasts is really beneficial as well. You will get backlinks. They will have show notes. You're getting in front of new audiences. It's got a lot of benefits. So what do you need to know about getting on? Well, there's three methodologies because it is time consuming because you're going to have to do the outreach. So you either do the outreach yourself, and I've got some tools here that I've used myself. I was going on other podcasts, and then I stopped. I have to see how things go because I would like to really concentrate on that as well. Or you can hire a virtual assistant to help you do the outreach, or you can hire a podcast booking agency. They're the three things. So, Kirk, what's your thoughts about going on other people's podcasts?
Well, this is a real grab bag of activity here, Jonathan, that we're going to talk about, because so you started your podcast and you're trying to like focus on your brand, your representation, right? It's your marketing thing. In my world, my podcast is my opportunity to spotlight other people of talent. So my show isn't about how wonderful Kurt is. My show's about how wonderful the people I know are, right? So I'm trying to show that I have this ability to surround myself with really smart people. Now, when I go on someone else's podcast, I am looking for a host that will excel at spotlighting me, right? Just like I do to my guests on my show, I want to be on a show that has a spotlight for me. And that's why I go on other shows. I go on other shows because I don't typically get to talk about my projects, my initiatives, the things that I do with Mañana No Mas and with the Power Sport Academy. I don't usually get to discuss a lot of that on my own show, because I'm busy talking about someone else's projects and what they're doing, right? Because the spotlight's on them. So I'm very careful about what shows I agree to do, because I want to make sure that the show is run and operates in a way that shines me in a positive light. That doesn't mean I'm stuck up and I hate other people. What it means is that I'm careful who I create my marketing content with. Because if you get on someone's show and let's just face facts, right? Maybe someone's always wanted to have a show, but they're not good at communicating, or they're not good at asking questions. They're not good at keeping the flow. They don't have any user base. If they don't have any user base and you're new to podcasting, well, that's the perfect show for you to get on, right? Because you're going to break the ice and you're going to start to build your talent in this space. There's a thing that I call verbal muscle memory. And when you do enough shows, you begin to create this verbal muscle memory for yourself. So you don't want your first show, any of your first five shows that you guest on to be like Joe Rogan, right? You want to get on nice small shows, small audiences, build your verbal muscle memory, gain some confidence in your space, you know, feel that you have that, you know, that authority, right? And then get on better and better shows. That to me is a very natural way to go. But I'm, like I said, I'm also fairly picky about who I'm going to share the screen with. And I want to make sure that they do a good job of representing me and my message.
Yeah, I think they're great points. I've got something to add to that, but I'm going to add it after we've gone. Well, I must have had it now. When I was going on other people's podcasts, I was doing it DIY myself. So I did use these platforms. And these platforms, they have lists of podcasts that are accepting guests. The free that I would recommend is Podcast Guest, Matchmaker FM, and Podmatch. They seem to be the free. There are some others. Some of them you do have to pay a subscription yearly, or you can pay month to month. I would suggest that you only go month to month. I did like Matchmaker FM, but the quality of the podcast, if you're not seen as a big brand, a big influencer, you're not going to get on large podcasts initially. You're going to have to work your way up. The problem is some of the smaller ones, it's not that they're small, is that they're not great on their communication. I think when I approach somebody that wants to come on, I want to come on the show, if they accept, I send them a link where they can book. We do it always at the same time on a Thursday, and they can book a day in the month, that particular day, which is Thursdays. They can if there's a spot open that a particular Thursday that works for them, they can book it. And I send them a confirmation email. And a week before they're supposed to come on the show, I email them again. Are we still on? And then if they respond yes, I send them a list of questions that we're probably going to ask them. So there's a system, basically. Well, I noticed when I was going on other people's podcasts, a lot of them didn't have a system, not a very good system. There was a lot of back and forth. But these platforms... you don't need these platforms. You can just go get a list of 10, 20 podcasts and go to their websites and see if they've got a form to fill in or got an email address. Because not normally everybody's looking for a guest. And you can just do your outreach. But it's best to have a PDF which outlines why you're a good guest and what you want to talk about, or have a email template. It doesn't want to be War and Peace, but it wants bullet points about the key subject points what the value you're going to offer to that particular person's audience. Does that make sense, Kurt?
Yeah, process is huge. It's one of the things that helps me make the decision on whether I want to guest on someone's show or not. Everyone has a different process. Jonathan, I know that you're big on pre-formatted questions, like kind of having an agenda to talk about. Some people find that really helpful. I use web forms. So I'll send out a web form link to a guest and I'll say, fill out this web form so it'll help me with my show notes. And that's going to be like their company name, their company URL, their, you know, short bio section, things like that. I prefer an organic conversation rather than pre-formatted questions for my show, but everyone's got their own flavor. And I think it's important to look at people's processes before you just say, yeah, I'll jump on camera with you today at noon. Like, you want to have more of a plan than that.
Yeah. Now, the second way of doing it is hiring a VA to do outreach for you. It's much more expensive. You can get offshore VAs. I'm not sure I would use AI to go out and do the outreach for you. They're going to cost, you know, they're going to cost you from a $250 to $500, maybe. I don't know. It depends on how much. Because a lot of them, if you don't hire, if they're not making a certain amount of money each month, they tend to get a bit flaky. You can go on Fiverr Pro. I would use Fiverr Pro. I think you could find some people to do this probably a little bit cheaper and they wouldn't be flaky either. You're just going to have to go on there or Upworks. And there's normally a lot of Filipinos that like doing this. It's just that it's finding somebody that you can afford that won't be flaky, basically.
Yeah. For me, I do old school networking, Jonathan. Once you start running your podcast for any length of time, you're going to start to get approached by other agents, right? So people are going to say, oh, hey, I have a couple of recommendations for you for your show. And if you like those recommendations and you use them, what I find is it's really easy then to communicate with those people. You've done them a favor. Maybe they'll do you a favor. They're going to introduce you to people that would be good to be in circles with to share a show. When I'm on LinkedIn and I'm networking on LinkedIn, typically I'll say, oh, you look like you'd be a really good person to be on my show. Do you have a show? And they'll say, we should do a podcast exchange, right? And so then that's kind of that tit for tat kind of thing where they're going to be on my show and I'll be on their show. There's all kinds of ways to get yourself out there without having to go down these routes. Now, I will say on your list is podcastguests.com. I get an email from a guy named Brian that runs that 2-3 times a week. And that is a well-curated list of possible guests. And I think that would be a really good opportunity. If you were going to pay to promote yourself, that would be a good one to register with.
Oh, is that podcast guests?
Podcastguests.com. That seems to be a really well-curated list.
Yeah, well, that's one of the resources for doing it yourself, yeah. Now, the final and most expensive is hiring a podcast booking agency to do this. And the free is that I've observed, there's a lot of them out there. A lot of them are either they're a VA or they're something larger. But these three are well known. It's Podcasting Bookers, Kickcaster, and Interview Velvet.
Ballet.
They've been around a long time. I'm not putting down booking agencies. I just found if you accept, they write to you, we've got this guest, they will give you a bio, give you a link to the person's LinkedIn profile website, and then you say yeah, and then they normally will CC the guest in. I just found there's a lot more back and forth, right? There's a lot, yeah. And there just seems to be a higher, I don't think Interview Valet, they're very expensive, but they tend to do a lot more hand-holding. The others, There seems to be a lot more back and forth. There seems to be a lot more last minute calc. This is when they're coming on my show. There seems to be a lot more cancellation, or they don't turn up at all. I now say, I probably lower the figure because I was asking them to sponsor one show, one of the shows, but I probably now will just say, you know, we do offer a half, expect you to sponsor half the show for $150. So they've got some skin in it, or $100, you know, to come on the show. If you're looking to go on other people's shows and you're using these podcast networks, there is a lot of the bigger podcasts and they do charge. And a lot of them, it's like $500. It's like $1,000 to go on their show. They actually make real income from sponsorship and from people coming on their show. It's a real business. In some ways, I think I should get more serious about it and be one of them, actually. Something to consider. Because I do like talking to people. These podcasting agencies, they're anything from 500 to 1,000 a month, or more. They normally have different packages depending on how many podcasts you want to get on each month. I think realistically, unless you're blocked off a week and you're just going on podcasts for the week, you're just doing it for the week and you're booking 20 shows that week and you're just spending the whole week going on podcasts, I think going on more than for one a week, doing more than one a week, it will soon get tiring quick. You can do like 2 to 3, but I think that gets tiring. I think one week.
Yes.
But being a guest.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's finish off, Kirk. What do you think of what I've outlined? Do you think the audience has got value from this?
Well, the value is there because you're given resources, right? And if anything, you're putting people at ease because a lot of people have built this into something that it just plain isn't, right? You have concepts and ideas you're sharing and that's it. My thing is get started earlier than later. The sooner you get started, the better it's going to go. And you don't have to have a big investment to get started. Just get started. And then, you know, at the end of this discussion, we talked about paying for exposure, paying to get on the show, paying to... And I just want to caution people, build that verbal muscle memory first, become somewhat of a seasoned guest or podcaster before you start paying for it. Because remember, this is to create marketing material to drive traffic to something. And if you're not good at it yet, you're just wasting your money. So you do want to build some skills before you start laying out cash.
Yeah, I want to make it really clear, folks. I don't ask... When I'm doing the outreach, when somebody's come on my radar through Twitter, through LinkedIn, recommended to me, I'm doing some research and they've come on my radar and I think they would be a good guest for the podcast. I might try and get some guests on the Membership Machine Show. I don't charge for that because I'm doing the outreach to them. That's totally free. I'm talking about VAs or it's a D. I don't charge when I was on the platforms. I didn't charge when people were coming to me either. But if they're coming through a VA or through a podcast booking agency, I just found that there was a much higher degree of cancellation at the last minute. There was the occasional person that never turned up. That's painful. You know, obviously somebody in the close family can die, things happen. But when somebody just cancels right at the last moment and they don't even offer why they're cancelling, that you find that a little bit annoying, don't you? But I've just end, why should you consider this? You've got a membership site. And I was listening to Kirk this afternoon, because this podcast is really about, if you're really serious about building a membership, building something that will last. And Kirk really, I was part of a group that Kirk jointly runs for Lifter LMS, and he put it so well about teaching and teaching somebody a skill, something. There's a bit more than just making videos. You know, teaching something really popularly is a bit more of a commitment. It's not, doesn't have to be enormous, because there's a kind of culture that that you can just do some videos, you bun them on some platform, and you can get people signing up. There's a bit more to it, folks. So that's what this podcast is about, those that are looking a bit more committed. But podcasting, either you're doing it yourself or going on other people's podcasts, it's just a great way to promote your membership business, to promote yourself. You don't have to talk about membership. You just, if they like what you're saying, they're getting value from it, they like you, they will go to your YouTube channel, they will go to your website. And if your course is targeted to the right niche, you're going to get sign-ups. It's really that easy, really. I think that's it, Kirk. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, I'm generally on LinkedIn just about every day. So Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen there. And if it's for business, mañana no más.
Thanks. There's tons of resources that will help you build your membership community website on the WP Tonic website. I can't stress how much resources there is on there. A fabulous blog section that covers really easy to find a load of information on there. There's a load of videos. There's all sorts of resources on the WP Tonic website. And if you're feeling really generous, why don't you leave us if you're listening on your mobile device on iTunes or Spotify, why don't you leave us a review? It really does help the show. If you could do that, both me and Kurt would be very appreciative. We'll be back next week with more information to help you build the membership website that you're looking for yourself and your family. We'll be back soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.